Blog Talk Radio.
Holy Ghost, I'm so grateful, God, to know you did the most when you created her for me, Lord, you know. I have witnessed your glory, all this favor you showed me. When you gave it to me, I had to learn what to do with your blessing. Now I know that a man who finds it, the wife finds a good thing. So every time I think of her, I'm thinking you. And when I give my love to her, I'm thinking you. Loving her like Christ led a church, cause you told me to. Yeah, she a missy on your glory. Sometimes I don't feel like I'm worthy, but I'm under your covenant, so I ain't worried. I'm just thanking you. When I think of her, I'm just thanking you. When I give her love, I'm just thanking you. Married and in love, I'm just thanking you. You. When I think of her, I'm just thanking you. When I give her love, I'm just thanking you. Married and in love, I'm just thanking you. You. Song of Solomon, chapter 8. Read it to me, tell me what it says. I know that you don't make mistakes, so if it's in the book, then it must be okay to love her. No, I'm not ashamed. Feels like a wedding night, I pray, oh yeah. Yes, a man who finds it, the wife finds a good thing. So every time I think of her, I'm thinking you. And when I give my love to her, I'm thinking you. Loving her like Christ loved the church, cause you told me to. Yeah, she a missy on your glory. Sometimes I don't feel like I'm worthy, but I'm under your covenant, so I ain't worried. I'm just thanking you. I don't understand why we can't talk about being in love with the one he gave us. He knows what he was doing, but she was his greatest creation. So I hope that you don't mind when I testify the way I do. Her like Christ loved the church, cause you told me to. Yeah, she a missy on your glory. Sometimes I don't feel like I'm worthy, but I'm under your covenant, so I ain't worried. I'm just thanking you. When I think of her, I'm just thanking you. When I give her love, I'm just thanking you. Married and in love, I'm just thanking you. You. Think of her, I'm just thanking you. When I give her love, I'm just thanking you. Married and in love, I'm just thanking you. You.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Welcoming everybody that's on the line today. Hallelujah for the Blog Talk Radio. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you touch each and every heart, each and every mind, and each and every soul, Father. Touch, Lord. Touch, touch, touch. Touch each one of them. Lord, wherever you desire to touch them, wherever you see that they need your touch, Lord, I ask that you touch them, Father. Touch them, Lord. Touch them in their bronchial tube. Touch them in their knees and their backs, Lord. Touch them in their heart, mind, and soul, Father. Just touch them, Lord. Touch them. Give them patience, Father. Patience. and more understanding, Lord. Let them know what's you, Lord, that everything is going on. You are the maestro, magnificent maestro of life. Hallelujah. Can we give you praise, honor, and all the glory, Lord? We thank you for our teacher, Lord, Apostle Rosa Arnold, Lord. May every word that comes out of her mouth be a blessing to our souls, Lord, our understanding, Lord, and let it be relevant in all our lives, Lord. Teach us more, Father. Teach us more. Let us absorb it as a giant sponge, Father, taking hold of it, grasping it, and using it to make a better world out of this place, Lord. We thank you so much. We thank you so very much. We thank you so mighty much, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory unto you, Father, in Jesus' sweet and holy name. Amen. 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 I will now turn the lessons over to Apostle Rosa Arnold. Praise God.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Oh, just anxiously be waiting for Saturdays. I just love the Lord and each one of you that are on the blog with us today. Hallelujah. Because God wants us to know him and to know all the wondrous things that he has for us and that he's doing for us. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm so grateful tonight for all that he has done for us. And my heart is praying for the other countries and our country that is going through so much. But it's a time that God wants us to cling to him. Oh, to look to him for everything that we need. He wants us, hallelujah, to believe all the things that he has put in his word for us to live by, to prosper, to be in good health. He wants us, hallelujah, to know these things. And it's time for his people to just turn loose and let him. We talked the other night in Bible study on Wednesday about casting all of our cares upon the Lord, for he careth for us. Hallelujah. Trusting Jesus all that matters, just one touch and you'll never be the same. There is only one way to touch him, is to believe when you call his name. Oh, trust in Jesus is all that matters. Just one touch and you'll never be the same. There is only one way to touch him is to believe. When you call his name, hallelujah, and that sweet name is Jesus. Oh, glory to God. Jesus, thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. It's wonderful to be able to call on the blessed name of Jesus. And I'm thanking him so much today. I want to review just a little bit. Hallelujah. And I thank you for it, Lord. In Romans 10 and 10, we learned that for with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. And the other scripture we had was Mark 11:13. And it reads, "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and should not doubt it, not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." We have covered these lessons on what it means to believe with the heart and what our faith is and how to believe. But now we're going to learn how to activate, turn our faith loose. Hallelujah. You see, if we're to have faith, active faith, then we've got to know without a doubt that believing plus confessing equals activated faith. Believing plus confessing equals activated faith. Now, the latter part that I read of Romans 10 and 10, it says, with the mouth, confession is made unto, it says unto salvation. But faith is not used only for salvation, but for whatever we are asking the Lord for, whatever we need him to work out in our lives. Hallelujah. Confession. Confession equals activated faith. When we believe, we believe in. It's not enough. It's not enough. It's good to believe. But we must also confess. Confess those things that we are believing God for. Well, you say, well, it hasn't happened yet. Yeah, but that's not faith. Wait for it to happen before you can believe. Believing then can or not, oh glory to God, as though they were. This is the part about believing and our confessing. Confess those things that are not as though they were. Hallelujah. So what is this text telling us? It's letting us know that with the mouth, confession is made. Hallelujah. And that's true concerning salvation, concerning healing, deliverance of what you need. Hallelujah. Everything that we receive from God, everything, it comes the same way. We don't have to wonder about, well, is it going to come this way? It comes through faith. Through our faith, everything that we receive from the Lord, it comes the same way. You see, at this scripture, for example, it tells us that it's with the heart that men believe when it comes to receiving our healing, when it comes to receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and it is with the mouth that confession is made. It's with the heart that we believe, and it's with the mouth that we confess. Hallelujah. This is a Pentecostal experience.
Yes.
That we are confessing. And over in Mark 11:23, it reads, "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe, that is, believe in your heart, that those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have so whatsoever he what he saith." Now we've got to do more than just believe. We've got to say it. The Holy Ghost, hallelujah, brings to our attention that we will have to do 3 times as much speaking about the saying part as we do about the believing part. You see, a lot of people are missing it, primarily in the believing part. They believe in that, but they're missing it in the saying part. Just hold it. And no matter how you feel it, you got to speak it out. You see, Satan and his demons, they can't read your mind, so they don't know what's in your heart. And they want to keep on attacking you. But we've got to speak it. I'm healed. And say what God has said. I'm healed from my shoulders. I was self-had last year. Around this time last year, a shoulder replacement. But I choose to believe God. Hallelujah. Oh, no, no, no. I saw how long that thing was to go in, and it's metal to go in my body. No, I couldn't do it. I had to stand on God. And no matter how many times the enemy tries to make me think that God is not hearing me, then I have words for him. And I let him know right there, and I command him to leave my presence, and the pain goes away. We got to speak it. We got to say it. And don't let the devil, you know, run you down. Tell that rascal. Because we cover you with the blood, but then you can also cover yourself with the blood of Jesus. And that's a protector. It's a protection. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. In verse 8, in Romans 10:8-10, it says, "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart." That is the word of faith which we preach. Hallelujah. It is thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Hallelujah. But if the word is only in your heart and you don't confess it, it's not going to work. It's in both your heart and in your mouth. Oh, thank God. That's when your faith is going to work. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When your faith, your believing, and your confession, what you say, your right thinking, that's when you're getting your right believing. And when you get it, your right confession. Hallelujah. You got to remember this and let it get deep down in your heart. Let it get rooted in you. That is with the mouth that confession is made. That's when believing and confessing equals faith. Hallelujah. God has given us his word to get our thinking straightened out. And when we think in line with God's word, then our believing will be right. Hallelujah. Oh, then we can say with our mouth, we'll be right. What we say then with our mouth will be right. And God will gladly give it to us. Hallelujah. You know, there's a positive side and there's a negative side of believing and confessing. Very few Christians, and I say this because I've traveled a lot overseas and in the United States, and the confession that some of those Christians make, they actually realize and recognize the place that confession holds in the scheme of things. But it's to be regretted for so many people, so many of us. Don't use the word confession in our lives. We don't operate in the confession. On the positive side, we have got to confess what God has already done for us. When Jesus took those stripes on his back, he has scars 9 times 39. Do the math. And that would tell you how many times, how many diseases there are. But Jesus already took care of it. And we have to acknowledge that when we ask God to manifest healing in our body, no matter what it is, if it's your thyroid, if it's your kidneys, we ask God, because in 2 Peter it tells us that by his stripes, by Jesus' stripes, we are already healed. Already means past tense. It's already happened. He's already done it for us. Think about how he suffered. They ripped the skin off his back. That even the birds were picking pieces off the inside of his body where it was laid open. If he did that much for us, then it ought to be easy for us to believe that we're already healed. So when we ask for healing, we need to just ask him, thank him, Lord, for manifesting healing in my shoulder, manifesting healing in my heart. Whatever it is and whatever it is, that is divine confession. The dictionary says that to confess means to acknowledge or to own up to or to acknowledge faith in. It also means to make confession of one's fault, of one's faith. Hallelujah. But remember, one of these definitions is saying to make confession of one's faith or to acknowledge faith in God's word. That's what he wants us to do. He wants us to acknowledge, not it within yourself. He wants us to speak it out. It was three times in that verse of Romans 10 and 10 that he said, say it, what we say, what we say, what we confess, we're speaking with our mouth, and the words are coming out of our mouth. It's good to believe within, but we got to confess what we believe. Hallelujah. I want to give you three things, and I think I gave them to you last week, but I want to make sure that you have it. You see, Christianity finds as the great confession, the great confession, and confession is actually three things. Now, the first thing, confession, C-O-N-F-E-S-S-I-N-G, is stating something that we believe. Something that we believe. Like, I believe so in my heart that I can do all things through Christ Jesus, who strengthens me. I can't help but love that scripture, because that scripture helped me to walk again. And the scripture, greater is he that is in me, oh, shut up, than he that is in the world. Oh, God, that ought to make you want to shout. Because once you receive him, receive Jesus, and the Holy Spirit comes up, and he abides in us. But he doesn't come empty-handed. That's why he wants us. Like the disciples, when Jesus told them to go back to the upper room and stay there until you be endowed with power from on high. They already had the Holy Ghost, because Jesus had breathed that on them when he sent them out. But they didn't have the power that they needed. And that's why Jesus told them, I have to go back, and the Holy Spirit is going to come. Because see, now I'm in a physical body. The Holy Spirit is spirit, and he can be in all of you. At the same time, he's omnipresent, just like God. It's God's spirit. And we have to lean and depend on him. Oh, glory to God. The next one is confession, is declaring something we know to be true. Hallelujah. We know to be true that Jesus hung on that cross with his back wide open, with 9 times 39 lashes for every disease that could ever come upon this earth. So see that scar. See that scar. There's one on you for what you need. There's a scar on his back. See it and confess it. Already healed. Glory be to God. Confess it. It don't matter what you feel. It don't matter what people say. You see, we got to get to the point that we believe God's word above anything and everything that anyone else has to say. I remember going to church one night at Bible Deliverance in Decatur, and I had the radio, and this man, oh God, he was preaching such a beautiful message. And when I got to the church, I looked up that scripture, but it was nowhere in the Bible. I looked, I said, I must have heard it wrong, but I didn't. You see, we got to know the word. And when somebody says something, go to the word of God to verify that what they say to you is what God has placed in his word. And if you can't find it, kind of let go of that thing. Don't even let it become a part of you. That's why we can't believe everything we hear. That's why I'm giving you scripture. I should call them, Micaiah, to verify. Hallelujah, Jesus. And the third one is that we must confess who we are to God. To God the Father in Christ Jesus. You have to confess this and not be ashamed. But Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father. You know, don't be afraid to let people know, hey, God bless you. Have a nice day. God wants us to bless people. He wants us to have a smile on our face when we're out among people. He wants us to live the life that we proclaim. And we must speak it. If somebody asks you, oh, you want those holy rollers? Then no, I'm not a holy roller, but I am saved. I've been redeemed by Jesus Christ. So I'm not a holy roller. You know, that's a group of people that got it wrong. Hallelujah. Number four is what Jesus is presently doing for us at the right hand of the Father, where he ever lived to make intercession for us. Confess that thing. Confess it. Speak it. Thank God that Jesus is on the right hand side of the Father, ever given. Oh God, hallelujah, giving me intercession. You see, when we pray to God the Father in Jesus' name, those prayers are relieved. When we pray in our prayer language and we don't know what we're praying for, but the Holy Spirit knows. That's why he says to build ourselves up with our prayer language. The more you pray it, the stronger you get in him. So we want to, hallelujah, know that the Holy Spirit takes our prayers to God in the name of Jesus. Oh, he takes them to Jesus, and Jesus takes them to his Father. But anyway, they still get there. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Number four. How are pleasure, number four. Number five is to confess what God can accomplish if we are the body of Christ. He's our head. But we're his arms, his fingers, his legs, his feet, the body. We make up the body of Christ. Hallelujah. So we must confess what God can accomplish through us, of what his word, his holy word, his word that cannot be refuted, that heaven and earth would pass away, but my word shall stand. Hallelujah. So we are to confess what his word will accomplish to us as we proclaim it. You're proclaiming salvation. You're proclaiming healing. You're proclaiming deliverance. You're proclaiming that you are in Jesus and he's in you. He tells us to abide in him and let him abide in us and live in us. Hallelujah, Jesus. Confessing who we are in Christ. Don't be ashamed to do that. You know, there are many different ways to learn about God, to learn about Jesus as you read the book. And I gave you all before to look up all the words in the New Testament that says in him, in whom, in Christ. Those scriptures will help you to know just who you are in Christ Jesus. And he wants us to confess that as we read them and underline every time you read in him, in whom, or in Christ, put a circle around it. Hallelujah. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, we are new creatures in Christ. And it reads, therefore, if any man be in Christ, okay, there's that expression in your Bible, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. This is a revolutionary truth. Glory be to God. And it's for the church. This is for the church. For us to teach. For us to share. To believe. And to confess. We are new creatures in Christ Jesus. We're not old. It bothers me. When people get up to testify. They say, I'm just an old sinner, saved by Christ. Forget about that old man. That puts a negativity on you being saved. Hallelujah. We, when you say, how you doing? Honey, I'm just barely getting along. That's a negative confession. God, no matter how you feel, God wants you to say, I'm great. I'm doing just great. Hallelujah. How you doing? You know, liven up your voice. Don't just talk like, I just can't hardly make it, honey. Then the devil is just laughing. He's standing off on one of his imps, and they just laughing. Okay, she barely get along. I'm going to make her not be able to get along. And he has the right to do that because you confessed it. What we confess out of our mouth is what we are or what we become. Excuse me. And I'm not confessing a cold because I don't have one. Hallelujah. But my throat was a little dry, so I took care of it. Hallelujah. Now let's read Ephesians 1, verse 7 and 8. Thank you, Lord. This scripture deals with in whom we have redemption. Who do we have redemption from? Who has redeemed us? 7 and 8. In whom? In other words, in Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Oh, hallelujah. I want you to notice that first part in verse, in whom we have, in whom we have. Praise God. We're not trying to get redemption. We're not trying to work our way so God will redeem us. No. We got to thank God because we already have it. He says, in whom we have, we already have it. Jesus already took his blood back up to his Father and sprinkled it on all of our books and the book of life that goes, our name goes into it when we give our heart to God, when we acknowledge Jesus Christ as our Savior. Don't be ashamed for people to know it. Maybe they're waiting to find somebody that can help them get to Christ. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So what do we have in Christ Jesus? We have redemption. And that means that Satan's dominion over us, hallelujah, is over. It is done. He has no more dominion over us. The moment we become a new creature in Christ, in a new birth, we received a new Lord. Yes, hallelujah. And write down Colossians 1:13. Colossians 1:13. Hallelujah. Now Jesus Christ is to reign over our life. Satan was our Lord, but now Jesus is our Lord. In Romans 10 and 9, Romans 10 and 9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, or Jesus as Lord, thou shalt be saved. Oh, glory to God. You see, Satan's dominion over us ended. Dominion began the moment you were born again. Hallelujah. So we want to get rid of all negativity. We don't want to speak negative words because those are words of Satan. Those are the demonic words that will try to bind us and hold us in captivity. But Jesus Christ wants us to know that once we accept him as God's child, ask him to come into our lives. Oh, God, hallelujah. He redeemed us. He took us away from Satan, away from his dominion over us. And in 9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, thou shalt be saved. Hallelujah. Ephesians 1 and 7 says, in whom Jesus Christ, we have redemption. So when you read that scripture, or if anybody wants to know, well, how do we get saved? Are we really saved? It's through the blood of Christ that was shed for us. Hallelujah. He delivered us. He redeemed us from what? From whom? We were redeemed. We, many times, people say, I'm so glad I'm redeemed. seeing something. That's just part of it. You're not just delivered or redeemed from sin. That's just a part of it. Hallelujah, Jesus. Over in the book of Galatians, the 3rd chapter and the 13th verse, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. They hung our Savior on a tree. He redeemed us from the curse of the law. Some of you might ask, well, what is the curse of the law? Then we have to go back to the law and find out. And we'll find that over in Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, verses 15 through 68. Deuteronomy, the 16th chapter, verses 10 to 68. You see, the first 5 books of the Bible are called the Pentateuch. And in these 5 books, you study them, and you'll find the books of the law. You will find that the curse or the punishment for breaking God's law is threefold. When you break God's law, the curse of poverty comes on you. Then the curse of sickness. And then the second death. But I thank God, hallelujah, for redeeming us from the curse of poverty. He has also redeemed us from the curse of sickness. We don't have to be sick. Just grab hold of one of those scars on his back and believe him for it. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of death. You remember he went down into hell and he took the keys from Satan, and he took the sting out of death. Those that are saved, we don't have to go through second death. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You see, that's the spiritual death, the curse of death. But God, through Jesus Christ, has redeemed us from the curse of death. You see, what Adam and Eve, what happened to them? They went through the spiritual death. The Holy Spirit that was covering them. Oh, my goodness. Hallelujah. That was covering them. And that they didn't know they were naked. Left them. When Adam sinned, he lost his place with God. And they were stripped of the Holy Spirit, which was a spiritual death. When you turn against God, when you stop following him and loving him and seeking his faith, then you experience a spiritual death because the Spirit will leave you. That once saved, always saved, you know. Because at any time, that's why if that was true, then God would not say that he was married to the backslider. If it was true that once saved, always saved, no matter what you did or what became your God here on earth, maybe you eat too much or you drink too much, or your clothes, you just have to have them. They have money. Thank you, Jesus. All these things, he has redeemed us. He's redeemed us, hallelujah. Home, hell is the home of the spiritually dead. All those walking right here on earth that are spiritually dead because they don't have Christ in their life. what hell is built for. And I believe that Satan is causing all these calamities and things to happen so that he can take as many people to hell that had not been believing in God. Glory to God. So we are redeemed from the curse of poverty. You know, some people feel like it's God's will for a person to go through life and not ever have anything to show for it. And during my early days, I'll soon be 80, I've seen and I've heard a lot of people that preach and teach that God doesn't want us to have riches. He doesn't want us to have nice things. But I'm telling you, thank you, Jesus, that we have to actually believe the Bible. People say all the time that the Bible teaches that money is the root of all evil. The Bible doesn't say that. It doesn't say that at all. It says the love of money. The love, you just got to have it. The love of money is the root of all evil. Hallelujah. And that's all in 1 Timothy 6 chapter and verse 10. And you can be guilty of that sin and still not have a dime. Just want it. Just got to have it. Do anything to get it. But that's not God. He says the love of money is the root of all evil. You also hear people talk about Job. Oh, they say, I guess I'm going through all this. I must be another Job. You wish. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. They're talking about all the calamities and trials that Job went through that's recorded in the book of Job. And some people think poor old Job went through his life poverty stricken, sick and afflicted. But he didn't. I've heard a lot of Bible scholars that believe that the events that happened with Job when God allowed Satan to touch him. Before then, God had a hedge around Job and his family. They couldn't touch him. But see, there was one little bitty teeny weeny opening that was in Job's life that gave Satan an opportunity to ask God to come against them and touch them. We have to be so mindful of what we say, so mindful of what we do, that we don't give openings for Satan to send his demons in to attack us. And that was that one thing Job always felt something was going to happen to his children. You see, Job was not a Jew. He was not of the Jewish faith. But he was a man that heard about God, and he loved God, and he served God, and he worshiped him. And he was the richest man alive at that time. And he helped everybody. But he wasn't a Jew. But he feared, he allowed fear to come into his life. Fear that when his children were partying and having birthday parties and all other kind of parties, that God would strike them down. They feared that. Hallelujah. And that was the opening. That little bit of fear for his children. If he had not had that, God perhaps would not have allowed the hedge to be taken from around him and allow Satan to touch him. That's why we must be so careful of the words that come out of our mouth. The things that we believe, the things that we take in for what somebody else has said, and we have not allowed it out with the word of God. It can open doors. Hallelujah. But you know, Job wasn't poor at all. When the thieves broke in and they stole all of Job's things, that meant he was in captivity. God allowed doubt it, because he knew Job's heart was made unto him. And this is an example to us. He allowed this to happen as an example for us to follow, to know, to see. Don't let fear be in your heart. Fear will open up for the devil to come in. Bitterness, forgive. Bitterness will open up for the enemy to come in and bring all those demons that had you before you received Christ in your life. And they're going to bring several more with them worse than what he wants. You must be careful about words. Hallelujah. When the storm came, it blew the house down on his children. They were all killed. Job was in captivity to Satan. No longer to the Lord. And when Job was sitting with all those balls from his head to his feet, his wife turned against him and told him, oh, that's so personal. Curse God and die. Get it over with. Hallelujah. Job was in captivity to Satan then. But the Bible tells us over in Job 42, verse 10, Job 42, verse 10, that God turned Job's captivity, turned it around for Job. God loved Job, because he knew how much Job loved him. But he had that one fault, that fear. So in other words, what the Lord is telling us through this book of Job, that we had better be careful. Then you are another Job, because that implies that you have to become first one of the richest men in the world. Job was. And over in Job 1 and 3, okay, you'll have to twice as much as you've ever had before. That's Job 10 and 12. And you'll be healed and live in a good old age. This is Job did. 2, did you know that Job lived 100 years after the calamities and trials recorded in the book of Job? You hear people talking about, honey, I'm just as poor as Job's circus. Well, you know, Job's circus weren't poor. Glory be to God. And then we can prove it in the Bible. As in the first place, the thieves that stole from Job, if the turkeys was poor and undernourished, they would have left him there. They're not going to take anything that's poor and undernourished. They would have taken the bet. Hallelujah. And in the first place, the thieves broke in. Oh, God, they stole from Job. But God restored him. He restored him twice as much as he had to begin with. So Job had plenty of grain and plenty of food. His circus didn't have to be poor. Hallelujah. So we sometimes go from church to church. We sit there with our eyes closed and our mouth open to receive everything they said, and don't go home and check in the Bible to see if what they said is true. So we've got to remember what Jesus has done, how we can walk in him and with him. He told us over in 2 John and verse 2, I mean 3 John verse 2. He said, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Prosperity was not just for the Jews under the old covenant. People think that, well, honey, prosperity is just for the Jews. No, it's not. believers, to those of us that believe in the Lord, that have confessed him. Hallelujah. Because this, the Bible is our final authority on everything. If you have any doubt, then look it up. Get you a Bible concordance, if it's not one in the back of your Bible, so that you can look up things that you need to know, and you can search. Hallelujah. I don't care if it's what has been written and what people have said, but if you cannot find it in the Word of God, you throw it away. Away. Ephesians 6 was written to the church at Ephesus, and it was written to the believers. And it says, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. You see, people have forgotten that the blessing of Abraham is for all believers. It was a material or a financial blessing. I mean, Abraham was able to give much to his son. It was a physical blessing, and it was a spiritual blessing. And so that's what 3 John 2 agrees, that God wants us to be prosperous materially, financially, physically, and spiritually. Let this verse be a part of you. Let it be a part of you. Because prosperity was not just for the Jews under the old covenant. 3 John 2 was written to the believers. The Bible is our final authority. Believe that and stand on that. Glory be to God. We cannot believe everything that we hear. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Keep these scriptures in mind. Also, Galatians 3:14. I don't have time to go into that one. But it does that Abraham's blessing is ours. It's mine. It's yours. But we got there's a scripture that says at the end of that, even as thy soul prospereth. So that means we got to learn of God. We got to get into his word. We've got to read it. We've got to look up. We've got to look up words in the dictionary that will help us to understand. Hallelujah. And Ephesians 6:3 told the Ephesians, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And what is the promise? That it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on earth. Because people have talked about, we don't live long anymore. Jesus, God gave us 120 years. We don't live 600 and 500. But see, I believe God allowed that because he was building up the population. So they live long enough to keep having babies and their natures and having children. We'll go into that one day. But my time is up. I'm so sad. Because I really, I'm just thankful. So thankful to God. Hallelujah. And I praise him for it. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Oh, Evangelist Flint, will you open up? And prophetess, Evangelist Flynn, if you were afraid to close out. Okay. Prophetess, we thank God for you. Your line is open. Okay.
Okay.
We'll pray and give us our closing and bless the people. Bless them, Prophetess. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Father God, we so humbly beseech you right now that you have come into our ears, you have come into our heads, you've come into our hearts, you've come through the mouth of Apostle Rosa being a vessel for you, you've come through way of Reverend Wonder being a vessel for you, you've come through the phone lines, you've come over the airwaves for each and every one of us to take part of and to hear today on this blog. Father God, we are currently coming in the need of continued prayer, of your continued blessing, that you would keep our doorposts covered, Father God, that you would keep heaven smiling upon us, Father God, that we will walk in your glory and your honor, Father God, in your mercy and your grace. Father God, we ask for the anointing forehead to bless each and every one of us, Father God. We ask for your continued ongoing anointing through those we love and care about, Father God, even those who are not for you, Father God. We ask that they would turn, Father God, so that they can even bless you, Father God. We, Father God, ask, Father God, that you would continue, Father God, to keep our minds stayed on you, Father God. We thank you for allowing us, Father God, to come under your heavens, which is your roof, Father God, to be servants of you, Father God. Father God, we know that every praise that we have, Father God, is sent up to you, Father God, and you send it back down, Father God, in the form of blessings, Father God. We thank you for your heavenly angels, Father God, who have surrounded us, Father God, whether we deserved it or not, Father God. We thank you for allowing them and blessing them to persevere upon our lives, Father God, to protect us from all hurt, harm, and danger in any form, Father God, whether it's in the air we breathe or the food we eat or the water we drink or the thoughts we have or the thoughts of others. We ask that no negativity, Father God, shall come upon us. And we ask that the hell and castle can be no more, Father God. We claim your highest goodness, Father God. We claim your highest blessings, Father God, as we go through. In the name of Jesus, we pray. In every aspect of our lives and everything that we could think of, it is covered in the name of Jesus. And we pray in that prayer. Amen. May the Lord watch between we and thee while we're absent one from the other. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. God bless all of you.
Bless everybody.
Yeah.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Hallelujah.